All right. We'll have a time of question and answer. If anyone has a question, whether here or on Pal Talk, you're welcome to raise your hand, and you can come up to the mic here in person or on Pal Talk. Raise your hand, and Bob will relay your question to us. Louisa, do you have a question?
Just tell you about the three things I want you to explain, or just go one by one. The first one is I was watching this show on TV, and it's in Spanish, so I picked up a little bit of Spanish, and it just came back to me because, you know, I'm originally from Philippines 40 years ago, and they mentioned also this, the Catholic. I don't know if they made this up. The name of the kings, the three kings that came to see baby Jesus, I heard two names on the Spanish show, the TV. Well, I don't own a TV since 1993. I gave it up and signed up with School of Family Radio.
The Bible doesn't give us their names. So
right. So where did they
names,
get my?
It could be. Tradition or handed down through the centuries, but we have no idea of knowing, so I wouldn't pay any attention to it.
Okay. Now, about the lots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I remember they cast lots on Jesus' garment, so does that mean Jesus ultimately is the inheritance that we try to cast lots on?
That's a good question. Yes, they had the one piece of clothing they didn't want to rent. Because they wanted it was more valuable kept intact, so mm-hmm. they cast lots to receive it, and one of the Roman soldiers received the covering of Christ, is how to look at that. So it does point to someone being who becomes saved, and then they're clothed with Christ's righteousness.
Okay, now you mentioned earlier during the study that God does not have to make the decision like us, okay? A lot of times,
what's that?
That God does not have to make decisions like we do. We try to make a lot of decisions, and a lot of times we're confused.
I don't think I said God doesn't make decisions.
But my question is about election. Could I say that it was God's determination before the foundation, before creation? It was His determination rather than His decisions, because He didn't have to choose. Right?
Well, as far as who became saved?
Yes, and I believe, you know, I'm more comfortable saying it was His determination rather than saying His decisions.
As far as Christ, it says in Acts 4, verse 28, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determine before to be done. And that's referring to Jesus being turned over into the hands of the Romans and being crucified. It was God's determinate counsel. It's all saying the same thing, His will, His determination.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, Bob?
Esther 5:6 and Esther 7:2 is the first day of the banquet of wine. Is the first day of the banquet of wine a picture of May 21? And the second day, a picture of October 21.
No. I don't want to get into that too much, but you're on the right track. Take a look, if you have time, at the dating of Esther 3, when the decree is given on the 13th day of the first month, and Haman's death. And God will link it to May 21. George. And not October 21. That's not in view.
In Joshua 11:20, it talks about how the enemies of the Jews should be destroyed utterly.
Mm-hmm.
And if I remember right, and I can't remember where it is, but if I remember right, one of the things that Israel, that the nation of Israel, didn't do correctly was to cast out all
right.
of the heathen.
Mm-hmm.
And what I wanted to link that in contrast to Esther, because in Esther it does talk about, in Esther 8:11, I think, is the verse you were looking for. You can read that.
Okay, Esther 8:11.
Wherein
the king granted the Jews which were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their lives. Yeah, that's it. To destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them, both little ones and women, and to take the spoil of them for a prey.
Right. So what we're looking at is that destroy utterly that we find in Joshua 11:20. And my I guess my comment or my question is to ask, is it, are we on track with saying that the fact that that in Joshua's day they did not destroy utterly, that was an open door for sin to continue, just kind of like in the ark, the yeah. unclean and the unclean came off and sin would continue. But in Esther, there is no, that's not going to happen. It is a destroy utterly, and that will be an indicator.
I think that's a good point. Now we do know that God allowed some of the people of the land to remain in there. It was the Jews' responsibility, but God, of course, is in control of all circumstances, and He allowed it. He tells us why in the book of Judges, in the first or second chapter, to prove them, to try them. And it was a trial to the Israelites when they would see these foreign nations so close to their own land, sometimes living in the same lot, and their idols, and all the things that later Israel would seek after, and so they failed the test. And so, but the overall picture, God has many pictures, and when He says to slay utterly all the inhabitants, that's one picture. Historically, we know that there were some left in the land. Okay, thank you. Emmanuel?
In Revelation chapter 10, when it says not to write anything, the seven thunders, could that relate to Esther, how the name of God isn't mentioned at all in Esther? But this is just a suggestion.
I don't know. I have never tied that together or thought about that.
Could you? At another time.
Well, think about it, but it is really unusual that Esther is a book without mentioning God or Jehovah. And in the Bible, I mean, this isn't a secular record, historical record. This is a Bible record of history, and God doesn't even record His own name. And I'm not exactly sure why He does that, but we certainly can see the hand of God in the book as we read it. Okay, anyone else have a question or a comment you'd like to make? You're welcome to share whatever you'd like. God's battle, please post your question.
Please explain Matthew 24:44.
Matthew 24. Therefore be also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Well, I know one thing, that this is not telling us that we cannot know the time or should not look for the time. And this would be a good hour for the Son of Man to come, wouldn't it? At this time, after May 21 has passed, after October 21 has passed, God has set up a perfect and severe test for all of us. We mentioned how the trial of your faith worketh patience in James. Well, let me show something else, and maybe we can discuss this in more detail another time. Let's go back to Esther chapter 8. And I have so many notes that they're not standing out to me anymore. Verse 13. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. Avenge. Maria said to me, what does God mean by that? How can we be in view as those Jews when they killed their enemies? That's what happened historically in Shushan and in all the provinces. The Jews killed all those that were going to kill them. And here the law is, the commandment is, the Jews should be ready against that day, because now it's been turned, to avenge themselves. Now compare this to Luke chapter 18. Luke 18 and the parable of the widow woman who God encourages not to faint. In verse 1, and he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Anybody feel like fainting recently? Spiritually? You don't have to raise your hand. I could raise two. But I think God's people all over the world have felt this. It's not a light thing that has been going on. And it goes on here. Now here God is trying to encourage us to pray. Keep praying. Don't faint. Saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. Now the widow typifies the elect. We're just like the Jews in the book of Esther. There's a law given, you may now avenge yourselves of your enemies. Remember Esther said of Haman, that the enemy and adversary is this wicked Haman. Well, so are the people who are following Haman. So is Satan and all his emissaries. And here in this parable, it's interesting that the widow woman who typifies the elect is saying, avenge me of mine adversary. You ever pray that way? You ever pray that way like that? That sounds pretty brutal, doesn't it? Avenge me. For a child of God who's told to forgive and forbear. But when do we pray that way? When is it lawful to pray that way? Oh, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Come soon. Because what's God going to do when He comes? Take vengeance on all the enemies and all the adversaries of Himself and His people. So we can understand that this is actually a prayer. This prayer fits this time. This parable fits right now. And we'll see even more why as we go on. In verse 4, and he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? So God is hearing now, day and night, because that's a reference to time, and we're still on the earth. There's still 24-hour days, and God's people are crying out, what happened, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Come quickly, O Lord. Avenge me. In that sense, we're praying. And God is saying, keep coming. Keep coming. Don't give up. Keep praying. Don't faint. Don't stop coming to me. Believe the Bible. Trust the Bible. Did you believe the Bible? Did you trust the Bible? Is there any shame in that? No. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause, that believe the things of this world, that believe the things of the churches, that believe all those things. Let them be ashamed. But anyone who believes the Bible, There's nothing to be ashamed in. There's nothing at all. We trusted the Word of God, and the Word of God is still right there, and we can't find fault. I'll say I'm wrong. I'll say I'm sorry if we found the mistake, but there's no mistake to be found, except it didn't happen precisely as we thought it would. But the calendar of history, I'm not trusting the calendar, because the calendar comes from the Bible. The calendar of history is intact. It locked in May 21, and it's still something that is faithful, and I don't know what else we can say about it, except now we wait. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? And he most definitely is bearing long with us. We're not perfect. I mean, we can very often sound like Israel in the wilderness, murmuring, complaining, crying, oh, you know, like a little baby, because it didn't work the way we wanted it to, and things are tough for us. He's bearing with us, believe me, long-sufferingly, patiently. I tell you that he will avenge them speedily, and that means God will come. Though I tarry, I will not tarry. He will come according to his word, according to the set time, the appointed time. Nevertheless, and this is included with that parable, listen to this statement. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You hear that? You see how he's joining it to Esther? Avenge me. And here is the elect woman crying out, avenge me, O Lord. Okay, I hear you. I'm putting up with you. I will avenge you because you're my elect. But when I come, will you be found faithful? Because it's a trial of faith. It's a trial, a fiery trial of faith. And it's the hottest trial we've ever experienced. And some are going left and some are going right and some are going every which way. But will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? And of course, he'll find the faith of Christ in his people, because he's given them that faith. But That I think answers that question. Okay, one last question, then we'll break. Two last questions, then we'll break for lunch.
Please explain Matthew 2:18.
Matthew 2:18. In Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, a great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. Well, historically, we understand Herod had just slain the children 2 years and under in that part of in Bethlehem and in the coast, and that would be an area that would identify with Rachel, Jacob's wife. She was buried around there, and so that's why the reference to her. Spiritually, I've heard Mr. Camping go over this, but it's been a while ago, and I haven't studied it myself, so I can't tell you exactly what it means.
Esther 9, verses 10, 15, 16. What is God referring to when he says, but they laid not their hands on the prey?
This is getting pretty far along in the book of Esther. We're not there yet. But I think it would relate to when God destroys the world and he destroys all the enemies of his people. We're not going to take anything from this world. We're not going to take the riches of the world. We're going to receive a new heaven and a new earth. I think it would relate to that. Okay, thank you. I'd like to thank everyone for sharing your questions and your comments. This time we're going to close with a word of prayer, and then we'll have lunch. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your grace And Father, we pray that you, well, we thank you for bearing with us. And we know that you are very forgiving. You forgive the multitude of sins of your people. And more than that, you bear with us. You forbear and put up with us. And we pray that you would forgive us for not being as forgiving towards others, for being quick to judge or go after someone who's maybe just done us a little harm, nothing in comparison with what we've done to you, in comparison to all the wrong we've done you. And also, we're not very forbearing, and we're not patient. And Father, we pray that you would produce in us through your Spirit these fruits, the fruit of the Spirit, that we would be more patient, more kind and loving and joyful and all the things that come from your working in the inner being of the one you have saved. And help us to spend time with our families and friends and help us to follow your example and to forgive and forbear. And Father, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.